Hello, everybody out there in internet radio land. This is Blake Ruby. How have you all been? It's been 2 weeks. It's my last show. And it's a nice day here in San Antonio. I guess what's on everybody's mind is with the coronavirus. And that seems to have dampened everybody's spirit. It might be just me, but that's what I perceive. Nevertheless, life goes on, right? I think it's like the flu. It is a flu, actually. I've had the flu before. I'm sure everybody's had the flu. I really can't imagine it's too much different, you know? It just seems that the only real difference is that it's a lot more contagious, so to speak. It's out there. I don't know where. Could be airborne, could be in the food we eat, you know. But I don't think there's a lot to worry about, really, in my opinion. We, as Americans, we take good care of ourselves, generally speaking. And here in San Antonio, I believe there was one reported case, but, you know, that person came from somewhere, maybe contracted it wherever they came from. I know it's different in Italy and countries around the world, but I still don't think it's a lot to worry excessively about. Life goes on with me. I mean, these changes are happening. We see them. My wife was supposed to participate in a speech contest today at the Audie Murphy VA Auditorium, VA Hospital Auditorium. I've been there before. I've participated in quite a few speech contests as a member of Toastmasters. So it was canceled today, and she didn't have to go. And then our church for tomorrow has been canceled. I don't know yet if work is going to be canceled on Monday. They told us to take our computers home. I've got my computer upstairs. I work for the government, for the Army, on Fort Sam Houston. And I'll see what happens come Monday. But in the meantime, life goes on. I had the flu fairly recently, maybe about 6 months ago. It was when, not quite that much, actually. It was over Thanksgiving. My wife had it, and not surprisingly, I caught it too. And I went to the doctor after we got back from this cruise. I came down with the symptoms on the cruise, which wasn't too nice. Usually when you're on a cruise, you want to enjoy yourself. I'm not saying that the cruise was the cause of the flu, although we did have a room on the interior, and we usually have a room with a balcony so we can let fresh air in, you know, at nighttime, like when we sleep. So being on the interior of the boat, all they had was a ventilation system, you know, that was blowing air on us, and then my wife was sick, and then I caught it. So it wasn't too much of a surprise, but it wasn't very pleasant. You know, my sinuses got blocked up, and I was coughing a little bit. Not so much coughing, just sinuses, runny nose. So when we got back from the cruise, I went to the urgent care. I got some antibiotics. And in about a couple of weeks, it cleared up. So I had all those symptoms, you know. I think anybody with adults especially know when they're coming down with something, you know. It's not that hard to detect. So really, the good news is if you detect that you have some symptoms, and it could happen in a day, you know, you can wake up in the morning with a sore throat, then you take evasive action even more quickly than ever before because of the possibility of this virus being the coronavirus. And as you know, there's been a lot of other viruses before in the past, Ebola, SARS, which they say is kind of like the coronavirus. I read an article about a woman who had the coronavirus, and her advice was not to panic. She said that she went to a party, and she was in close proximity to people, and there was laughing and people coughing, I guess. And airborne viruses are a threat. But from my experience with me, I've gotten sick in the past because of some food I ate. And food, it's true, can have E. coli or salmonella poisoning, you know. And you get that in your body, and then it's just kind of like a chain reaction. And so I think that we just need to be careful with the food we eat, you know, to make sure it's fresh. Usually you can taste if something's bad. I can. I'm 65 years old, almost 66, and I know when something tastes bad, I spit it out right away, you know. I'm sure you're the same way. You're smart, experienced. Whether it's a piece of broccoli or a piece of meat or something that doesn't taste quite right, you know. Maybe people will continue to eat something that doesn't taste quite right, especially if they can't afford to buy something else, even though you could ask them to take it back and, you know, replace it. I've done that many times. But anyway, back to that woman. She came home and then she noticed that she had some symptoms like fever and chills. She didn't have any coughing. So then she contacted some of the people that were at the party, and they told her that they have had the same symptoms also. And she went and got tested, and sure enough, it was the coronavirus. So she went to the store and got some over-the-counter medications. Didn't even go to the doctor. Didn't even get any antibiotics. And it cleared up. She was okay after a while. So they tell us that like in 80% of the cases, it's mild. The 20%, other 20%, it can be severe. People can even die. But people die from the flu. People die from pneumonia. I think this is a little bit more, you know. But we have to take that person's advice who had it to heart, and that is to not panic. And I know a lot of Americans are panicking. You know, they're going to the store. They're stockpiling on a lot of stuff. That's called panic, in a way. And maybe they won't go out anywhere. My wife was going to go to Zumba today, but she didn't go to Zumba. My stepdaughter did. I've got to talk to her because I've been to that Zumba class Saturday morning at 11 o'clock at Gold's Gym here in San Antonio, one of the many Gold's Gyms that there are. And they have a pretty good ventilation system with some ceiling fans up above, you know, in the main room where they have the Zumba with the music. And on Saturdays, you can expect to find 50 at least people there, you know, all in close proximity to each other, breathing that same air. And I've never gotten sick from that. And today, I don't think it was any different. I don't know. I've got to talk with my stepdaughter. She's here, but actually, I think she's out shopping. I don't know. I don't think she's back yet, but some people won't be intimidated to stay at home and and they will go to the same thing. You know, they're not afraid. And you might say that that's not a wise thing to do, to take those necessary precautions. But some people are like, I don't really see a lot of difference, you know, other than other people panicking. You know, the media may be blowing this a little bit out of proportion. You know, if you listen to the news all the time, you might come to believe that. You know, my son told me, he said, Dad, I'm not listening to the radio or TV anymore. I'm getting tired of listening about it, you know. Okay, it's out there. All right, I know what the what it's like. It's like a flu. It's a virus. I know what the symptoms are like. I don't need to keep hearing about it. Now, the administration, the government, has a responsibility to look after us. And the media is capturing that. And that's one thing about the media that you have to realize, is that they will always exaggerate, blow things out of proportion, they sensationalize. I'm not saying that this isn't an important issue, but they always take the ball and run with any little thing that comes up. You know that. And it's not like the zombie apocalypse out there, you know, and that will never happen because it's fantasy. It's not reality. But as far as a virus, a deadly virus, sweeping the earth and destroying us all, I don't think so. If you want to believe that, you can, but it hasn't happened yet. I don't think it will. Plus, we have to remember that there's someone up above who is watching all this going on, that creator who is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-knowing. Those words ring a bell? All-powerful. You know what that means? Having the power to do anything. Having the knowledge, the intelligence to understand everything in the past, the present, and the future. It's an amazing intelligence, right? Well, my friends out there listening in Internet Radio Land, and many thanks to BBS Radio for this opportunity to put my thoughts out into the airwaves, up into the atmosphere, into the psychosphere of our planet, to help make the world a better place. You can do the same too if you want. Even just the words you speak positive words. Man, I tell you what, I like watching movies. I was upstairs. I came home today. I went out, did a workout, and ran around the track, walked, ran. You know, the Jeff Galloway method, when you run, then you walk. I have been doing a lot of research, and I found that, for me, the best exercise, and I've been, last night I did a one-mile run without stopping. I can do that, but the Jeff Galloway method, the run-walk-run method, is to help people who like to run but don't like to have the pain or the muscle aches, the injuries as a result of prolonged running. So with the run-walk-run method, Jeff Galloway, who has done like 200 marathons, has come up with this method where you can run in between the, you can walk in between the running, to where afterwards you won't need to recover as much, and you won't have all the injuries associated with running, like knees, bad knees, or sore back, or joints, you know, hip joints. And, you know, I try different things all the time. I am an experimenter. I'm looking to work this body of mine to where I can function optimally in all aspects of my life. So what I like, and I've been going back and forth with this, but I write down these observations that I find in regard to what is the best of everything, to include exercise. And running on a track is probably one of the best things, even though you go around and around and it's boring, but still, the surface of the track is very helpful, if you will, to the impact that you experience from running. So I found that the 200-meter walk, 200-meter run, and I'll start off with a 200-meter walk, and I'll run 200 meters, walk 200 meters, run 200 meters. I did 2 miles today. And so you get the benefits of running, but you don't feel bad afterwards. We all are works in progress, you know. And let me get back to what I was talking about, because I digressed a little bit. So I came home, and have you heard about that movie Uncut Gems with Adam Sandler? So that's a new movie. I put it on. I was listening. And, oh, my God, the language that Adam Sandler is using in the movie. Every other word is a swear word, you know, the F word, GD this, SH that. And I watched it for about 5 minutes, and that was it. No more. I turned it off. So I lost the money, you know, $6.99 for the movie. But I can do without that. So my point is, the point I was making is, we can change our lives. We can swirl that energy around us in a positive way by speaking positive words. If you're going to speak negative words, swear words, which is really like a lack of intelligence to not be able to address the reality of a situation, then you're going to be someone who's going downhill. You know, there's so many people dying nowadays, I think, that are going to dark places in the afterlife. The goal, my friends, is to rise above the confines of a planet, a physical, material planet, and to rise up and transcend this world to a world of light that exists out there. And you've heard me talk about this before. Your soul and your body is like a light bulb. The soul is the brain of the spirit that you have inside your body. It looks just like your physical body in many ways, although it's transparent and translucent. Still, the soul, as I mentioned, is like a light bulb. And the purpose of us, one of the reasons of us being here, is to increase the light of our light bulbs. And we do that by developing ourselves spiritually, evolving, being good people, saying good words, helping, random acts of kindness. Does that all make sense? I hear a dog barking in the neighborhood over in the distance. We have 4 dogs. Any of you that have listened to me before, you know that, and I might be interrupted my show here anytime, and a dog might scratch at the door, so be prepared, just to let you know. Thank you for listening, by the way. I don't know how many out there are listening to my show, and it's a really cool thing to have a show on BBS Radio. It's like being a radio, a real radio host, you know, having your own show on FM or AM radio, like Howard Stern's. You know, it's the next best thing. And whatever your passion is, you can talk about it, whether you're maybe a plain Christian or someone who's a lover of nature or someone who's a UFO enthusiast. If you want to talk about that, you pay your money for your show. You can do it twice a month like me, or maybe once a week. And you can talk away. And believe me, there's a skill involved with talking for 1 hour. Talking intelligibly, feeling that pressure from having to say things and not pausing too long. I've got some topics written down. I wanted to talk about them. One of my goals one of the things I'd love to see in my lifetime is that we make contact with some extraterrestrials who are out there. And one positive thing I see about this coronavirus issue that's going on is that we're pulling together as a human race. This is helping us to forget our minor, petty conflicts that we have, especially in politics. You know, it hasn't been the usual rhetoric about the Democrats or the Republicans doing this or that. So-and-so said this, so-and-so said that. President Trump tweeted this. Nancy Pelosi did that. All that's kind of been pushed aside. And other talk, too. I think I'll venture to say around the world, the crime rate is probably decreased. We're pulling together as a human race, and that's a good thing, I see. We're in this together. It's like Ronald Reagan said, addressing the United Nations back in the late 1980s. I think it was 88. He said, if there really was a threat from outer space, an extraterrestrial race that was bound and determined to attack us, that was on its way to attack us, or was in the process of engaging Earth with its weapons, then all of the petty conflicts, all the discord, the disagreements, the violence, the fighting that happens here on Earth would be put aside. People would forget about that because they would focus on the extraterrestrial threat. Or maybe it wouldn't be such a threat. Maybe these ETs really do want to make contact, you know? And in my opinion, you see all these Hollywood movies, they make the aliens out to be negative, trying to kill us, not really concerned for our welfare. Well, that is not a very intelligent way of thinking, because if, and I don't want to say anything bad about my fellow human being, because there's a lot of really smart people out there. Others, not so smart, they might be young souls, or maybe they only have a high school education. Others have master's degrees, or PhDs. But logically, my friends, isn't it realistic to think that these extraterrestrials are capable of traversing space, intergalactic space, traveling light years with their spacecraft and their super advanced propulsion systems? You don't think they have some weapons that could destroy us if they wanted to? If they wanted to, of course, that's logical. And you have to, just have to, you have to understand logic. Logic is simple, but it's often ignored. Ignored. And what I've talked about before, I'll say it again, because I really love this, and I've thought about it this myself, and I'm very proud of having come up with this way of thinking that will prove to you that there is life out there, if you believe in logic. There is life out there because, now I'm sure that some of you who are listening to my show are atheists or agnostic. You don't believe in a creator. And so therefore, you believe that all of this happened by accident. And when I say all of this, I mean over a million types of insects, over 30,000 types of fish in the oceans, the seas, rivers, and lakes. Over 10,000 types of birds. Over 10,000 types of reptiles, over 9,000 types of amphibians, over 5,000 types of mammals, all the fruits and the vegetables, the trees and the flowers, hundreds of thousands of different types of flowers. All that happened by accident. Could it not happen by accident elsewhere, anywhere, anywhere, anywhere in the universe? Logically? And raise your hand if you're a logical person out there. Yeah, I thought so. It could happen there too, by accident. But if there is a creator who has the power and knowledge to have created all that life that I mentioned here on Earth, is it not logical, logic, hello, to think that that creator could also create either the same or different life elsewhere or anywhere, 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 anywhere in the universe? That's logical. Come on, people. We don't need proof of NASA that there's life out there. We're being held back by a minority of people who are the bullies, the dictators, the tyrants. We have to say enough is enough. Our government is hiding the UFO files. Bernie Sanders said that he'll release the undisclosed UFO files to the public. But that's what Jimmy Carter was going to do way back then. Before Jimmy Carter became president, he had an encounter with a UFO, him and about 10 other people. If you don't believe me, well, it's not that you don't believe me. Check it out on the internet if you're interested. He saw a light, a UFO, a real UFO that showed up and hovered around for a couple of minutes. Form of intelligence, yes. These UFOs, spacecraft, when they interact with the Earth's atmosphere, they appear to be light sometimes, not just a flying saucer, but a light, because they're not all the same. They're created differently, but most of them ride the electromagnetic grid pattern of the Earth's atmosphere. And believe me, there's an energy out there that you're not aware of within the Earth's atmosphere and also in outer space. You've got dark energy and dark matter up there forming space. And nighttime, which is just the lack of light, the absence of light, our world rotating on its axis, provides us half a day of light and half a day of darkness. Isn't that amazing? Like clockwork, no glitches, courtesy of the supreme creator of the universe. Thank you, Supreme Creator. My friends, one thing we can do also with this coronavirus is to pray. There's a lot of power in prayer. I personally don't need any more convincing that prayer works. How about you? Prayer works. And the more people you have, the better it is, the more powerful the prayers. But I just wanted to stop and make a point here, my friends out there in internet radio land. Do you know who you're praying to? Do you know what God looks like? Do you have a clue? I mean that in a good way, okay? When you pray to somebody, I would think you should know what they look like, don't you? And I know that you do. In your soul, you know what God looks like. And I've talked about this before. There being a mother God. Father God, yes. That's what the Bible talks about. No talk in the Bible about a mother god, though, however. But logically, here we go with logic again. If you were the father god, just imagine, if you will, use your imagination, because Einstein said that imagination is even more important than intelligence. Imagine, if you will, a father god, all-powerful, magical, and we are created in his image, right? So he looks like us. Facial characteristics, a beard, probably, yes. Long flowing hair. Of course, God, who is able to, and not only God, but everyone who is of the spirit, in the spirit form, in the spirit world, in the spirit lands, are able to configure their bodies to whatever mold that they prefer. And that, in other words, if they were black here on earth, they can be white there. If they want to have a huge chest with muscles and muscular arms, they can do that. Usually, and as per the movie Heaven is for Real, the young boy, Colton Burpo, said that everyone in heaven is of an age 30 mold. In other words, you don't look old. Old people that die usually revert back to the age 30 mold. You know what I mean? Age 30 is like a perfect age where you don't look either young or old. You're just the perfect age, you know? Now, there are children in heaven, I believe, in my research, and I've done a lot. Especially the children who are aborted or miscarried. They go to a place where they're brought up. But those are the young souls, the newly born souls, those souls that have had past lives. Hello, anybody out there believe in reincarnation? That's God's master plan. Hello, does that ring true? Yes, it does. When we die from this life, we continue to exist in the afterlife. And there are a lot, there are many, 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 many millions of planets out there that have life on them that we can reincarnate into. Just like when you were born here on planet Earth. You don't remember that, do you? Well, we were born at one time. You and I, all of you out there, you big babies. You're all big babies. I mean that in a good way, okay? You were a baby at one time. Now look at you. You've grown into an amazing being. You're not a baby anymore. You used to be a baby. You used to have your diapers changed. Your mother and your father, did they show you love? Could they have been more loving? Maybe they were really loving. So my point is, imagine Father God. And in the book, The Soul's Remembrance by Roy Mills, The Soul's Remembrance, the name of the book. He had an encounter with God. He said that all of us existed before we were born. We had a pre-existence. We were spirits waiting to come to earth. And at one time, all of us, every single one of us, all of you out there, stood or were in front of your Creator, who gave you a pep talk, if you will, who gave you a mission brief, if you will, who told you what the plan was for your life when you were to be born and what would happen, what he wanted you to do when you came to earth, what your objective, what your goal was, what your special plan was, all these different, perhaps like a major in college, and you have minors also, kind of like that. So in his book, The Soul's Remembrance, Roy talked about what Father God looked like, about twice the size of an adult male. So picture, if you will, of being 15 feet tall with hair on his head, maybe long hair or short hair, because I've heard different accounts. And there's more than one God out there, and I'll get to that later. I'll explain that later. Because we are co-creator gods in the making. The God that Roy Mills saw had his own life cycle, going through the different lives throughout the process of reincarnation, eventually reaching the level of co-creator God. But to continue on, what he looks like, very strong facial features, loving, but also very strict, necessary, eyes with pools, like pools of love, a light that shines that is so bright, absolutely incredibly, incredibly bright, as I mentioned about how your soul is like a light bulb. Well, think of how bright the sun is, as an example. That is what the light of the Spirit Father, I'm going to get to the Spirit Mother eventually, okay, I'm getting there. But that is what that light looks like. It is so bright you can hardly look at it. That's why it behooves all of us to develop ourselves spiritually, so when we come face to face with our Creator, we won't be forced to lie prostrate on the ground because we can't withstand the glory and the brilliance of the light that is washing over us. So the nose of the Father God might be, have a little bump in it, could be pointed. He could have a beard, maybe no beard. I've heard beard. Just joking. There's another book called Beyond the Darkness by Angie Fenimore, a woman who tried to take her own life, and she had a face-to-face encounter with God. She said that he was a little different, that he had long flowing hair, a beard. But in Roy Mills' book, the Father God did not have a beard. I told you I'd get to there being more than one God. But in the meantime, I'm trying to prove that there is a mother God, okay? So all you men out there, me, I'm married. Why? Because I like to have a woman by my side. I like female companionship. You know, it has its benefits, if you will, if you know what I mean. Also, friendship. I'm talking about friendship. Having someone to love you, not just physical love, but also just to give you love, to take care of you when you're sick, you know, that female companionship. Now someone, oh, sorry, pal. Sorry, buddy. Got another dog, my big dog here on the table in front of me. I just kicked him by. Not hard, just slightly, by mistake. He's out here underneath the table because he's been having seizures. He's a black lab, and he's about maybe 12, 13 years old. And at first, we were giving him his medicine and some of the food that he would eat, but now he's gotten smart to that, and he won't eat the food that has the medicine in it. So we've been having to inject the medicine with a syringe into his mouth. And so we have to chase him all over the place, and now he's most upset that my wife chased him around the house earlier today and sprayed that nasty-tasting medicine into his mouth, and now he's hiding out underneath the table, angry, not understanding what's going on. I've been trying to explain it to him, but that doesn't help too much. But anyway, so the rationale for a mother god. What man out there would not want a woman by his side, except for maybe the gay people out there? You know, I'm not saying they're any better or worse than people who aren't gay. The thing about gay people that I've noticed, and this is not always the case, there are exceptions, but usually gay people are born into this world with a physical body of a particular sex and a spirit of an opposite sex. So a male body can be born in this world with a female spirit and vice versa. A female body can be born with a male spirit in it. And so this is one of God's plans to help make the world a better place, bringing more love into the world, believe it or not, because these individuals are helping to change things for the better. That's what I've been noticing. Take Mayor Pete, for example, of the Democratic presidential nominees, who just dropped out recently. Here's a man who is extremely, extremely intelligent, who is very squared away, a former veteran, yet he's gay, openly gay, and he has a husband. Well, that's an exception to the point I'm making. And you know, therefore, that Father God would want a female by his side, right? You know about the Virgin Mary. Why is it not too hard to believe that Father God would want a mother God, a king would want a queen, or a prince would want a princess? The problem is, and it's hard to break the traditions of the past, the traditional way of thinking is still back thousands of years in the past when our society was male-dominated and only concerned about controlling the masses, making money. Now, I don't think religion's a bad thing, but it's not going to get us to where we need to be as far as developing ourselves sufficiently in our spirituality, because you know that money is behind religion. It's a money-making business. And all these different religions right there, each one claiming to profess the truth when there can only be one truth. And that one truth, my friends, is your spirit in your body. The Bible doesn't talk much about that. I don't want to slam the Bible or say anything bad about the Bible or Christianity. I think it is a very wonderful book full of great wisdom. It shines with a special kind of holiness. It talks about divine intervention like no other book in the history of the world has talked about. And that divine intervention was very real in the past. I believe, I know, whether it was Moses and the miracles that happened to help get the people out of Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, the fire and the smoke on Mount Sinai, the burning bush, whether it was Jesus and changing water into wine, walking on the water, calming the sea, raising Lazarus from the dead, feeding the people at the Sermon on the Mount, curing the sick, the lepers, curing a paralyzed man, bringing children back from the dead, and the greatest miracle of all, the resurrection. Well, that really did happen, and the Bible talks about it. That's divine intervention of a kind no other book in the history of the world has talked about. So for that, I love the Bible, but it doesn't give all the details that I need. Someone who was 65 years old eventually said, I need some more details. And I went searching. I read books about near-death experiences. I read books about extraterrestrial encounters, abductions, people who were abducted by extraterrestrials, taken to their planet. They were taught many great truths about the universe, scientific truths about the way the universe works, the physics involved with that, the astronomy involved with that. We only have touched the tip of the iceberg when it comes to knowing what's out there. So, my friends, and then let me say this about a mother and father God. We are the children of a mother and father God because you can't have children without a mother. Unless you've envisioned some way where that's possible, I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but it is not possible for a father alone to create children. Unless you have envisioned some way that that's possible, you think he's just going to materialize them with a magic wand or something? No. In the universe, things work by a certain way, a certain set of standards, procedures, processes, and nothing can differ, nothing can variate from that, if you know what I mean. And so the universe works according to certain standards, and things aren't created without them being created a certain way. There's no fantasy out there. It's all reality, and everything works in concert together. There are cosmic forces out there that we can utilize to create whatever it needs to be created, whether it's a planet, a sun even, whether it's animal life on planets, whether it's plant life on planets, whether it's sentient beings, the spirit in our bodies, all that. There are forces in the universe that we could utilize to create by knowing how to do it. And like the Bible says, and I'll refer to the Bible, although, you know, as I mentioned, I'm not in 100% agreement with what the Bible says, everything it says. Some people are, but then they don't think outside the box. They're not like that, and there might be reasons for that, but I won't get involved in a dispute about that or an argument. And maybe sometime in the future, I might invite someone to call in if they want to. But what I would suggest to those people out there that might disagree with what I believe in is get your own show on BBS Radio and then talk about what you like to talk about. If you're passionate about something and you really believe in something, go for it. That's what I'm doing. So, you didn't answer my question. How can a father alone create children? And we all are the children of our spirit mother and father in heaven. And no doubt about that. We are children. And that's another thing I have a bit of contention with in the Bible. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Only begotten Son. Now, I understand that Jesus was the only being. I hear what looks, sounds like a coyote over there in the distance howling. I think it's a dog. Because God gave his only begotten Son. What does that make us, though, if the only Son is Jesus? What about me? What am I? What about all the men out there? What about the women? God's only begotten daughter? I know the Virgin Mary is unique in a way, but, well, basically, if you believe that, and I think, as I mentioned, there's some things in the Bible that were not interpreted correctly from whoever wrote them, and also, we have to rely on the accurateness and the intelligence of the individual who initially wrote those chapters of the Bible, the disciples, the patriarchs of the Bible, and whether or not you believe them, everything that they said, 100%. Now, these are people that existed back then, a couple thousand years ago, 5,000 years ago. And how much more intelligent are we than they were? Now, we have the benefit of some incredible technology. We have a lot more people on our planet than existed back then. We have a lot more money on the planet. We have done some amazing things. We've cured diseases since way back then. We're able to travel now wherever we need to go. I can talk with my stepdaughter in Tokyo here just by calling her on the phone. Some amazing things have gone on since those thousands of years ago, is the point I'm making. So why do you think that those individuals back then have some more significance than us in these days? Yes, they were inspired by God, and maybe God talked to them, but God didn't look over their shoulder as they were writing whatever they wrote for the Bible. God didn't say to them, I want you to write this in the Bible now, word for word. They had to use their own intelligence interpreting what they thought and what they saw for those disciples that were with Jesus when he had his ministry on earth, not to mention that Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem, who I think was separate from the Jesus that died on the cross. And I've mentioned this in other shows before. And the Jesus that was born in Bethlehem eventually wound up in Japan and got married and had children and died at a ripe old age of 90-something. Check the internet if you don't believe me. But the Jesus who died on the cross and had 3 years of ministry, beginning with his baptism in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, who was brought by spacecraft from a planet in our Milky Way galaxy inhabited by a race of extraterrestrials who are technologically and spiritually one of the three most advanced in the galaxy, who have been monitoring our civilization, who have guardianship of our civilization. And just like in the movie Avatar, you know, when they put themselves inside the blue bodies, so these beings are able to do with their astral bodies for actual human bodies. You get the picture of what I'm saying? So Jesus shows up under cover of nighttime, I imagine. And then he is baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. Some things in the Bible I don't believe, and I'm entitled to what I believe, and everyone's entitled to their opinion. I don't believe in the Garden of Eden. I don't believe that Jesus went out into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. I believe other things in the Bible. So, you know, why would you persecute me because I don't believe in all of the Bible? But that's a whole other discussion. The point I was making was there is a mother and father God, and the Bible doesn't talk about a mother God. And that's because what we're seeing here, my friends, is a quest for truth. Not just any truth, but universal truth. And all the different religions, and you know, there are many different types of religions out there, each one saying that we're the best. We know you don't. We're right. You're wrong. I'm sorry. There can only be one truth. And that truth is universal truth. So, let me explain Mother God to you. She's very beautiful. She's like a queen. She shines with a light that is brilliant. She is a spirit, a soul that has developed over eons of time. Just like we're doing right now, she went through that process of reincarnation on planets throughout the galaxy and even the universe, my friends. Going through that process of reincarnation, perfecting, evolving, going up that ladder of evolution to the point where we will one day achieve that co-creator God status, because we are gods in the making. If you have a heart and a brain in your body, if you can die, then you are a God in the making, my friends. Well, the time has come when I hear a dog behind me scratching at the door, one of our dogs. Well, they gave me about almost an hour of quiet time. I go to, okay, now go out, go outside. You need to go out. What I have next to me is, now I need to close the door. Come on, buddy. I've got some people talking behind me. And that's okay, but so Goldie is an American Pit Bull Terrier, and she's female. She's about 7, 8, 9 years old. I call her Super Dog because she's so strong, so powerful, and loving. She's a very loving dog. She licks my wife's face all the time. And then we have another female dog, a Smooth Fox Terrier, who's very, they're all both very fast. The females are very fast. They love to run. Here's some advice for you, my friends. If you have some dogs, let them run. Because a dog that is able to run is a happy dog. And a happy dog is a healthy dog. And if you want your dogs to be a ripe old age and be happy and healthy, let them run. Take them somewhere where they can run. Run around. I know it's difficult to find a place, but they have to be obedient to you, and as much as you don't want them to bother other people. Our dogs are pretty much that way. They're very friendly to other people because we don't abuse them. You know, we treat them very well, feed them well. And so I only have a few more minutes here, my friends, but let me say this. I wanted to give a shout out to Ancient Aliens on the History Channel. Thank you for all you're doing, for helping make the world realize that we've been visited before in the past by extraterrestrials. But in spite of all that good work that you're doing, Ancient Aliens, I thank you very much for helping us be aware of things like these wall paintings and the ruins from the past, pyramids and the Nazca lines. But how about something a little bit more inspiring, you know? How about giving us stories of people who were abducted or people who saw UFOs, people who believe in life out there? Well, I say, Ancient Aliens, raise your bar to help us have that eventual contact that we're all seeking so that we can be transformed as a human race, as a society, as a civilization, into human beings who will become star travelers, like Star Trek, you know? That fantasy will become a reality. Does that sound appealing to anyone out there? And when they share their technology with us also, we'll be able to cure diseases, this coronavirus. With contact with extraterrestrials, they'll be able to say, oh, this is what you're doing wrong. This is why it's happening. This is what you need to correct. When you do that, it'll go away. But we're figuring it out. And don't forget to pray. Now you know what, well, I've helped some people hopefully to realize that when you pray out there, you have to know who you're praying to. Listen to that voice that talks back to you. God, you're a child of God. God will answer, and I say God, I mean Mother and Father God. Like when I'm driving, I get in my car and I say, God, please keep us safe while driving. And I've already explained to Mother and Father God, sometimes I don't have time to use Mother and Father God, I just say God. Because Mother God's a God, Father God's a God, and when they merge together and they merge their spirits and they're able to create a new spirit or a new soul, it's like that process of reproduction, then they are God, a single God. And of course, there's the Supreme Creator out there, the Supreme Creator of the universe, who is an incredible energy, who is huge in size, could be the size of at least a galaxy. Imagine that. They say that there's millions of stars in the Milky Way galaxy. You know how large that is. It's 100,000 light years across. Well, the Supreme Creator of the universe, who created all this, would hold on just a minute. the door is closed, never mind, who created everything, all the miracles of creation, even the co-creator gods, our mother and father God in heaven, on the sun, which is a world of light, and our spirits can exist in fire, not only the fire of heaven, the sun, but also the fire of hell underneath the earth's surface. And I know you've heard of that. The Bible said the gnashing and the weeping of people burning in lava beds of fire in hell. Well, their spirits exist in a fire, right? Just like spirits can exist in the fire of heaven, which is a very special fire. It's the fire of God. It's a nuclear fire, but it's still a fire. Not like a match. Different. That's the spirit world. And God, Mother and Father God, are on the sun. I'm going to ask Doug at BBS Radio if he would be so kind, if you forgive me for just making one final change. And I noticed that on my website, it does say, there is one point there where it says, God is on the sun. That used to be my title. Now it's called Blake Rubiology, but I'd like to change that to God is on the sun instead of Blake Rubiology. So the Supreme Creator is out there, my friends, and it is a force, an energy so incredible, difficult to comprehend, so powerful and enormous, loving, a creation, a positive creating force, and out there and everywhere, because all of this, everything that you see in front of you, was created out of nothing. Matter, physical matter, was created out of nothing. I see a red cardinal that just landed on a tree in our backyard. That cardinal was created. It is an amazing creation. One of 10,000 types of birds, and that is a very beautiful bird. We see the male and the female cardinals, it's more than one, two, all the time around here. There's many different types of birds. I love all birds, especially, well, I won't say especially, but I love the red-winged blackbirds that make such cheerful noises. Then we have hummingbirds and all kinds of birds. We have hawks that fly overhead. We have blue jays, I forget what they're called. It's a kind of a blackbird. It's not a crow. But anyway, and so my friends, I know that there's no one that follows me, and Doug's given me a little extra time. But I'll say this, a closing prayer until 2 weeks from today. I wish you the best. Stay well. Do all the things you usually do. You're a very intelligent, brilliant person out there. And you know how to take care of yourself. Be careful, because there is this additional threat going on right now of a virus that's a little bit more contagious than the usual flu, you know. So don't panic. Don't be intimidated either. Be wise in all you do. Pray. Pray to God, Mother and Father God, or the Supreme Creator for protection. And God will protect you. Don't be afraid to use the word just God. God, the Creator. If you say Creator, that's also an excellent way to pray. Creator, please keep us safe and well. They know what you're talking about. Mother and Father God in heaven, Supreme Creator of the universe. And then there are other co-creator gods on every sun in the universe. There is a co-creator, male and female God, all the way back to the central sun of the universe, where the first solar system was created, and then one solar system after another, one sun after another, and one galaxy after another, and here we are in a spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy. Isn't that amazing? And we're moving, going through space. But that's something that you knew. It's something that our astronomers and scientists have known for many, many years. What I'm saying is nothing new. Anyway, I think I'll wrap it up here, because our dog has come back in the house and left the door wide open, and now there's people inside who are talking. And I think now's a good time to say goodbye. And let me say this. to everyone. May God, may the Creator bless us and protect us, everyone, and Creator, Mother and Father God, Supreme Creator, please help us to deal with this coronavirus. Help us to find a cure, come up with a vaccine, so that we can carry on with our daily lives and get back to doing the normal routine, but with an awakened awareness that you are real and out there and helping us, and you are answering our prayers. And we thank you for that. A thousand thank yous. We love you very much, Mother and Father God. And we love you, Supreme Creator of the universe, who started it all, who existed at one time before the physical universe was born into existence. Amazing. So, my friends, thank you for listening, and I wish you the best. And 2 weeks from today, same time, same BBS radio. And a shout out to BBS Radio. Thank you for all your support, all the people that are doing great things for the world, knowing that the words that you speak do make a difference. And God knows, you know, just how negative this world can be. When you go through the channels and see all these movies, the killing and fighting, violence, we need more of shows like mine and the other shows on BBS Radio to counter that negativity. Positive words. Even if what I'm saying isn't true, I speak, and I mean every single thing, because I am not as naive. I'm not as naive as to believe that I know all the answers. I don't. I learn new things every day. But what I've learned from other people, and I put my reality system together like a jigsaw puzzle, one piece after another. I'm an intelligent man, well-read, 65 years old, going on 66. My mother guided me down the pathway of mysticism, spirituality, and I know that we're here to develop ourselves spiritually. And I am here to help. We rely on each other. I would not have the knowledge I have without other people, the books I've read from them. So, take it from me, at least some of what I say, my friends out there, that what I mentioned is true. Thank you for listening. And take good care of yourselves. I'll be back in 2 weeks with my show. Until then, I love you. And God does too. All right. Bye-bye.